want to preach this morning on the subject of the last days. The last days. Here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, begin reading in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Outrageous times shall come. Dangerous times. Hazardous times. Religious times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. What's he talking about? Traitors. Those that once believed the truth, that embraced the truth, and have gone away from the truth. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. There's a likeness. There's a semblance of godliness. But denying the power thereof. From such turn away. How many of these things have got to be fulfilled that we've just mentioned? I believe they're all fulfilled. We want to take our text from this first verse. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're living in very dangerous times, very hazardous times. And in Paul's epistle here to Timothy, he describes in great detail what would characterize the last days before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, no doubt, that we're living in the last of the last days. I really do. For us that are saved, I believe the last days should be a time of great rejoicing. A time of anticipating the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also a time of great sorrow as we witness the increase of immorality, the increase of apostasy, going away from the truth. And as we see these signs being fulfilled, we ought to be following the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ as He states over here in the book of Luke chapter 21. You have your Bibles there with you. Turn back here to Luke chapter 21 in verse 28. Where He says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now go back to verse 7 of this same chapter. He says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured." They all murmured, saying, that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. That isn't the verse I wanted. Verse 7 of 21. Okay, I went chapter too far. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And then in verse 28 he said, And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So it's very evident that we see that these things that he spoke of have been fulfilled right before our very eyes. And we want to notice these things this morning, these things that have been fulfilled and some of the things that are being fulfilled. We want to notice what Daniel had to say concerning the last days. Back in the book of Daniel, in chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12. Turn back here with me to Daniel chapter 12. And we'd like to notice verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So the angel informed Daniel of two primary signs that will be evident at the time of the end. And he said, many shall run to and fro. Meaning that the ability to travel great distance with ease will characterize the last days. And as all we have to do is to go over here to Nashville Airport, and you will find many people running to and fro with great ease. You can get on a plane and be to the other side of the world in a matter of a few hours. Then he said, knowledge shall increase. Look at the amount of information that can be stored in a microchip. Computers become obsolete in a matter of months. I was telling Brother Mark, I have a computer I bought about 3 or 4 years ago. And he said, buy a new one. I asked him if I needed to update it or whatever. He says, no. He said, buy a new one. And so, they can become obsolete in just a matter of months. Vital information can be called up from the computer memory. And any individual in the United States, they can dial up their name and get about any kind of information that they want. There's been a push for cashless society in the world economy that's been going on for years. Biochips placed in the skin of your hand. And so we're seeing many running to and fro. We see knowledge increasing right before our very eyes. I know very little, very, very little about the computer. Brother Mark's finding that out, how much I know. But that just blows my mind. That you just click on this and click on that. And he would tell me, click here, and click here, and click here, and click here. Bang, it's right there. Knowledge shall increase. And so we're seeing these very things here that's described in Timothy right before our eyes in the book of Daniel. Knowledge shall increase. Many running to and fro. We went to Lexington and back. Years ago, it would take hours and maybe days to get to Lexington. We were there in 3 hours. 3.5 hours. And people jostling in the highways, as Habakkuk says. We're seeing these things fulfilled right before our very eyes. You say, our preacher's been preaching that for years. That the coming of the Lord could just happen any time. Well, we want to preach it to you again this morning. That the return of the Lord Jesus Christ can happen at any time. It can happen at any moment. You're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ can come back at any time. And we urge you this morning to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're here and away from the Lord, backslidden, could care less about serving the Lord. We urge you this morning that you'll get your life right with the Lord, that when you stand before Him, you can stand before Him with a life that's pure and acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to notice for a few moments the last days according to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, we'd like for you to turn there with us. Matthew chapter 24. Notice verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So the Lord tells us that there are going to be some signs. And He also tells us that the world is going to come to an end. I believe that's very clear here. And so, we see in verse 6 and 7 of this same chapter, and you shall hear, and He tells some of those signs, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. World War I. World War II. The Korean War. The Vietnam War. The war in Bosnia. Gang warfare in the streets of America. Never in human history has there ever been a time of such worldwide fierceness and violence and bloodshed as there has been in the past 75 years. And I believe that all of this is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And we say, He's not coming back yet. I believe that we're right at the door of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and receiving us into glory. Now, in verse 7, He says, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Right now, 2 billion of the world's population are going to bed hungry every night. Thousands are dying from starvation and malnutrition around the world today. We can see that right before our very eyes as they turn the television on. You can see it all being fulfilled. Along with famines comes pestilence and disease. The disease of AIDS. The disease of cancer, which they have not been able to get a cure for 100%. Earthquakes. Before 1960, there were only 24 major earthquakes from 30 AD until 1959. Since 1960, there's been over 40 major earthquakes, and it's probably more than that at this time. Earthquakes are happening all over the world. Like never before. And so the Lord tells us to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, does this do anything to you at all? Huh? Or are you saying, well, this is just another message? I believe the Lord is alerting us this morning. He's not getting our attention. Or He's not trying to get our attention. I believe He is getting our attention this morning. So look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look at verse 12 of this same chapter. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Just think how prevalent sin is today. Iniquity is open violation of God's law. Millions of unborn babies have been legally slaughtered in America alone in the past 20 years. Why? Because the love of many have waxed cold. Never heard of that several years ago. Wasn't heard of. But today, millions of babies, thousands of babies today are being aborted, being murdered. Right before our very eyes. And you say, well, the Lord's not coming back right away. The love of many shall wax cold. The breakdown of families. Children are left just about today to raise themselves. Murder. Divorce. Drugs and alcohol abuse are very prevalent in our society today because the love of many has waxed cold. What is even worse is the coldness that exists among professing Christians, among those that profess to be saved. It's almost like pulling teeth to try to get members of New Testament Baptist churches to be faithful to their church. Why is that? The love of many have waxed cold. And I want to mention one thing that will cause that flame to once again burn in your heart that was burning there the day that you were saved by the grace of God. I want everybody this morning to go back to the day and the hour, the moment that the Lord Jesus Christ saved you by the grace of God. You all there? If you're not there, there's a good possibility you've never been saved by the grace of God. And if that won't warm your heart, there's something definitely wrong. But we're living in a day when God's people do not love Him like they ought to. And I believe that that very thing today will cause you to love the Lord more than you have ever loved Him before in your life. That'll cause you to step out that aisle this morning and say, "Oh God, forgive me. I have wronged You. I have sinned against You. I have wronged Your church. And oh church, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have let the church down. I have let the Lord down. And I'm sorry. I want to repent. I want to get my life right with the Lord." Because He could come back tonight. He could come back this afternoon. And I want my life right with the Lord. I want my life right with the church. And so I believe that's another evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Are you ready for the Lord to come back? Right now, in the condition that your life is in, right now, are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back? You say, "No, Brother Jones, I'm not saved." You can be saved today. You may be saying, "No, I don't want the Lord to come back. My life is in a mess. I want to get my life right first." Do that today. Do that right now. Right this very moment. Repent. Just say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've sinned against You. And I want to get right with You today, right now." And so, the coldness that exists amongst us that are saved by the grace of God. Do you ever come into service and you sit there and you know that you're just as cold as can be? What's the cause? What's the problem? I believe a saved person knows what the problem is. You know what the problem is. But what are you going to do about it? Are you going to remain in that condition? The most miserable time of a person's life that is saved by the grace of God is when you're away from the Lord. And you know it. And the happiest time of your life is when you know that you're in fellowship with the Lord. You're doing what the Lord would have you to do. Isn't it? That is the happiest time of your life. And we let so many things interfere with our service for the Lord. We let things get us down. We let things discourage us. We let things depress us. Do we not? But that's the happiest time of your life, is when you know that you're in fellowship with the Lord. Where are you at today compared to where you were at the day the Lord saved you? Think about that. Where are you at today? Where are you at compared to where you were 10 years ago? Spiritually. Where are you at? It's not going to hurt us to take examination this morning of these things. I love the Lord. I love the Lord's church. And the most important thing in my life is to know that my life is right with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing to me. It ought to be with each one of us. Now, in verse 24 of this same chapter, he says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." More religions exist today than ever before. Now, in chapter 24, in verse 37, let's notice verse 37 here of this same chapter. "But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now I want you to compare that with Genesis over here in chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we'd like to notice verse 11 and 12. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11. Let's notice verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now to go down to verse 11 and 12. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." It doesn't take much imagination to see that our present world is overrun with the very same conditions that existed during Noah's day. Judgment came in Noah's day. 7-year tribulation is right around the corner. Enoch was translated to heaven prior to the flood. We're going to be taken out. We that are saved by the grace of God, we're going to be taken out before the tribulation. The Lord gave us some clear signs here this morning of His coming. And I believe it should prompt us to take heed to Mark chapter 13 and verse 29, where He says, So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, that it is near, even at the door." Jesus is coming this morning. Let's be watching. Let's be waiting. Now we want to notice our last thought this morning. The last days according to the Apostle Paul. The last days according to Paul can be summarized by a moral and doctrinal falling away from the truth. In 2 Thessalonians, we'd like to close with this passage of Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, or the Antichrist. You know, I don't know the condition of your heart, but you do. You're here this morning, saved by the grace of God. You know the condition spiritually of your own heart. Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ to come back in another hour? Now you answer that. You're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you want Jesus Christ to come back? When He comes back, it's all over. Hope has been extended to you one more time this morning. The Lord has extended to you one more opportunity to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. One more invitation has been given to you. And I'm not trying to put pressure on anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you exactly the way it's going to be. And that's exactly the way it's going to be. He's extended to you one more opportunity. He's extended His grace to you one more time. You say, well, if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved anyway. You're not going to be saved anyway. You're going to be saved God's way. And His way is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He went to that cross. He bled. He suffered. He died. He was buried. And He arose again the third day for your justification. The Spirit of God has spoken to you. He's tugged on your heartstring. And He's worked on that wanter. You say, that's not even in the dictionary. Well, that's in mine. I tell you what, the Lord worked on my wanter. The day I was saved, I wanted to be saved more than anything in the world. And you know how I found out whether I was saved or not? I stepped out that morning and I acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto salvation, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believed it in my heart. I confessed it with my mouth. I stepped out that morning and I repented of my sins and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Say, you knew you were saved? I sure did. And everybody that's here that's saved by the grace of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you'll never know that until you step out by faith and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, what are you depending on to get to heaven? I'm depending on that very thing. I'm depending 100% on what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. And I believe that by faith. That's it. I believe that by faith. And that's what I'm trusting in. You're here saved by the grace of God, member of this church, backslidden, away from the Lord, haven't been living for the Lord, haven't been serving for the Lord.
You know, when a person's saved, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Where before you didn't want to go to church, didn't like to go to church, after the Lord saved you by the grace of God, that's all you want to do. And it bothers you when you don't. And if it don't bother you when you don't, you better take some inventory. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I said, what are you preaching to me? I'm not acquainted with... I'm trying to get acquainted, but I'm not acquainted with everybody here yet. I'm trying to be. And I want to be. But we all know our condition spiritually before the Lord. Do you want Him to come back? Whatever your condition is this morning. Has the Lord spoken to you? We urge you to come. We have a song of invitation. You're here and lost without Christ? Step off. Can you come saying, Brother Jones, I come repenting of my sins and putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's all I know to do. That's all you need to do. Come. The Lord has spoken to you, dealt with your heart, and you want to be saved, He'll save you if you come.